Father God, you are all we want. Lord, you are the one that gives us everything. And so, Lord, we give back to you this time where we are focused on you and we look at your word and rely on you with our lives, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, everybody, good morning. It is great to be here. This morning, I hope you guys trust you guys are all having a great day today so far. Is that true? Wow. Okay. You would think, as long as I've been here, and as many times as I've asked that specific question, you guys would know you're allowed to respond. So let's try this again. You guys are glad to be here this morning, right? There we go. Hey, we got our kids going back to do the kid thing with some great teachers, and they get a chance to just look at the Lord in a way that makes sense to them. And so that's a super exciting time that they get to do that. We're really excited that we have the teachers that we have. Then, of course, we have those of you joining us online, and we want to thank you for being a part of our online services this morning and being a part of our spiritual family this morning. I'm having a little bit of iPad technology issues, so just bear with me. One moment. Here we go. Okay, so listen, every week I ask the question, right? And we talk and we say, hey, how are things going, right? And we get to know each other and we talk and we have a good time. And hopefully every time we leave here, we're a little bit closer to the Lord and we're a little bit closer to each other as a spiritual family, right? And I know outside it's hot. Listen, yesterday was pretty. Friday was brutal. Today, I haven't been outside since about 7:15 this morning. But as I was walking inside, I was sweating. I don't know if that has more to do with my weight or the weather, but either way, I didn't like it. So I came in and I enjoyed the air conditioner because we've got a great, comfortable space in here that we can chat and we can get to know each other and we can have a great day. And so let's jump right into our series. We are in a series called I Believe, and it's called I Believe because we want to actually know what we believe and why we believe it. And so we've been going through the doctrine of the church. For instance, as a church, we believe that God has three unique persons that make up one divine God, right? We believe in the Trinity. And if you're curious about that, we talked about that a few weeks ago. You can go back, you can listen to that on the podcast and kind of get a recap of what's going on there. We spent a little bit of time talking about that, though. We spent some time talking about what it means to be a Christian and how we should be conducting ourselves in public and in private. And as we talked about Christian conduct, we've been talking about doctrine, and you know, I wanted us to all be on the same page when we use the word doctrine. And so I gave us a definition of doctrine so that we can all kind of be the same. So here it is. Doctrine is a set of guiding principles that helps us navigate the twists and the turns of life. Now, does anybody remember why I love doctrine? Anybody remember why doctrine is so good? To know doctrine. The reason it's so good, the reason I love it is because if I know doctrine, if I know what I believe and why I believe it, then the stuff that happens in my life every single week, I know how to deal with it, right? I know how to deal with the death in the family or the hospitalization or the financial crash or the roof that's leaking. Or the, hey, you know what? Sometimes good things happen too, right? So I know how to deal with the fact that a test, a screening for cancer came back negative, right? And we had that happen this week with part of our family, part of our extended family. We had somebody come back with a negative test, and that's fantastic, right? So if I know doctrine, if I know what I believe and why I believe it, then I know how to deal with that stuff. I know that this isn't just a coincidence. This is God working. Be prepared to know what you believe and answer the questions of why you are the way that you are, right? Both the good and the bad. So this week, we're moving through our statement of faith, and we're getting closer and closer to the end of this series. But this week, we're going to be looking at the doctrine of church cooperation, the doctrine of church cooperation. And you're like, that's not a doctrine. That's a thing. That's something that happens. How can you get a doctrine out of church cooperation? That's one question. The other question is, do churches cooperate? Like, that's not a thing that happens, is it? Like, come on. I've been in some churches, I've been in some churches that don't cooperate. Like, within each other, they don't cooperate. I can remember one meeting I was in, one business meeting, and there was, like, almost a brawl going on because somebody wanted to paint the walls of the sanctuary, and they couldn't agree on the color. And, like, there was almost fist fights going on. Not all churches cooperate, okay? Sometimes churches don't cooperate that well. But even more than that, how about cooperating with other churches, right? You see, here's the thing. When churches don't cooperate, the reason that most churches don't cooperate is because they don't have a firm theology. They don't know what they believe or why they believe it, right? And when you have a church that doesn't know what they believe, well, then you believe everything. And when you believe everything, then really you believe nothing. And that breeds disunity. And that breeds fights and conflicts and all kinds of stuff like that. And that's why it's so important to know what you believe and to have a central belief system that everything else can be filtered through what you believe. I believe this is true, and everything we do is filtered through this instead of let everything happen and let's just see what happens. So there's a big difference there, right? But that's not really what we're looking at this morning. This morning we're going to talk about what it looks like to cooperate with other churches. It's important to cooperate together as a church inside of these walls, but it's equally important to cooperate with churches outside of these walls, with other Christians, right? And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And the question is it okay to cooperate with other churches? Like, that's a question. What type of churches should we be cooperating with? Should we be careful about the churches that we join forces with or join hands in ministry with? Or should we have a barrier somehow, some kind of a barrier to protect us as a church to say, okay, these are the churches that we cooperate with, and these are the ones that we don't? Well, luckily, we have a statement of faith. We have a doctrinal position about that very question, and here it is. We believe that local churches can best promote the cause of Jesus Christ by cooperating with one another in denominational organization. Such an organization, whether a regional or district conference, exists and functions by the will of the churches. Cooperation in a conference is voluntary and may be terminated at any time. Churches may likewise cooperate with interdenominational fellowships on a voluntary, independent basis. Okay, here's what that means. Here's what it all. Listen, we are part of a network of churches, a denomination called Converge Mid-America. Okay, and we're saying Converge Mid-America, that's the safe zone. Like, we know what they believe, and we're good there. And then outside of Converge Mid-America, if we want to, I mean, if you can see that we do believe in cooperation, but we have some guidelines to our cooperation, right? We have some boundaries to say we can do anything we want within these boundaries, but these are the boundaries, and the boundaries are there to keep us as a church theologically safe, okay? So we don't have false teachings coming in or anything like that, right? And so in order to realize all of this, in order to kind of put this all together, we have to first understand that Christian unity is actually incredibly important. Christian unity, as Christians, Christian unity is found throughout the New Testament. Like, you could go to almost any passage and you will see and you will read about Christians working together and Christians helping each other and Christians just being a part of each other's lives. You will see that happening, right? But then there's this guy named Paul, right? And this guy named Paul, he wrote like 90% of the New Testament, not really, but he wrote a lot of the New Testament, right? And this guy named Paul, he wrote letters to various churches encouraging them to cooperate with other churches. Look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is the first letter that we have that he wrote to a church in Corinth. I want you to put that into perspective. Anytime you're reading some of these letters, here's what I want you to think about. This is a letter to a group of people in a city named Corinth. This isn't just the name of a book. This is a guy, the missionary leader at the time, wrote a letter to the Christians, to the church in this city named Corinth. Okay, so that's what this is. This is the first letter that we have. In chapter 16, he says, "Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each and every one of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem." So here, what Paul's doing is Paul is asking this group of believers from Galatia. He wrote them a letter. It's called Galatians, okay? So he's asking this group of people in Galatia, and he's asking this group of Christians in Corinth to join together financially and help the church in Jerusalem. That's actually what's going on. You see, there was a recession. We'll call it a recession, right? And this recession hit those in Jerusalem, it's a city center, a whole lot harder than it hit those out in the rural communities, okay? And so Paul is telling these Christians, hey, you guys need to gather some funds together and let's send them to Jerusalem so that we can help the Christians in Jerusalem. If you guys remember, 2 years ago, whenever it was that the war in Ukraine started and Russia and Ukraine started not getting along, we gathered some money to send specific, we didn't send money to like random organizations. We sent money specifically to churches, to Christians in Ukraine that were being displaced by this, through this process, okay? So we were cooperating with Christians far away. We didn't send it, like I said, there's no organization. We found Christians and said, you guys need help, here's some help, okay? And so that's exactly what Paul is telling these believers to do. But he does it differently, right? Because then he teaches something in this letter to the group of people in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, he says this. "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Right here we see Paul is telling these people in Ephesus that there is one body of Christ. There is not multiple bodies of Christ. Okay, there is one body of Christ. And you might remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the universal church and the local church, right? And we talked about the difference. And I said, anytime I say capital C church or big church or something like that, I'm talking about the universal church. That's all Christians of all time. Anytime I say LRBC, I'm talking about just this small group of those Christians. Okay, this is just our gathering of the Christians of all time and all places, right? So that's what we are. We're the local expression of that. And so we talked about that a few weeks ago. And that would definitely include believers in other countries and other villages and other locations and other tribes, right? And so that's what Paul's teaching here, that there's one body. There's one group of Christians. There's not this type of Christian and that type of Christian. There is a Christian. That's it. Now, if you remember last week, I mentioned that God has gifted every church, every single church, with the people to be able to minister in the ways that church needs to minister. In other words, we have within this church, within LRBC, we have kids ministries, and we have teachers to teach in those kids ministries, right? We have teen ministries, or we're trying to kind of start some teen ministries. We have people that are trying to look at that, right? We have a worship ministry, the music ministry. We have people that are doing that. Within every church, God places the people that are needed to do that ministry. Okay? And so I believe that. I very firmly believe that. And the same thing is true within every region, that God has churches in every region to be able to minister to those regions in the way that they need to minister. And that's because some are arms and some are eyes, right? If we're one body, maybe you're a fingernail, I don't know. But here's the thing, here's what I know to be true in churches. Not everyone will connect with the gospel in the same type of church. It's just true. Not everyone will connect with the gospel in the same type of church. For instance, we have been called at LRBC, we have been called both liberal and we have been called conservative. It depends on your take. It depends on your feel. It depends on how you want to listen to music, how you want to worship with music, what kind of teaching you want to be a part of. Like, everybody's a little bit different, and not everybody is going to connect in the same way. So we have different churches. We even have different denominations or networks of churches, different groupings of churches that work together, right? And some of those networks have the same core beliefs, and some of those networks would vary in their core beliefs, right? And that's okay, as long as the gospel is the center belief. It's okay to have differing opinions on various things, as long as the gospel is the main thing, right? In that Christian unity. I'm going to tell you a story about the power of churches here in a little bit. I just want you to percolate on that for a second. I'm going to tell you a story, and I hope you will be encouraged by what God can do when churches actually cooperate together. But before we get there, I want to tell you guys four reasons churches should work together in Christian unity. There's four reasons. I didn't come up with these reasons. I don't remember where I got all of this as I was reading various things this week. But I got four reasons churches should work together. And my hope, we're going to look at these individually. My hope is you're going to be inspired. You're going to be encouraged that it's okay as Christians to work together to proclaim the gospel. And the first one I'm going to point to is really a no-brainer, right? Like, if you don't agree with this first reason, then I want to question your relationship with the Lord. Here's the first reason. The Great Commission. Like, we've been given a job to do. As groupings of Christians, as believers, the Great Commission is a pretty good reason to work with other churches. You see, Jesus actually commanded his disciples to go and make believers of all nations. No cap. You woke up a little bit. Did you wake up? I'm staring at you. Yeah. You're awake, mostly. All right. Remember in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So if we're commanded to do this, then there's no possible, let's just be real, there's no possible way we can do it on our own, is there? We're commanded to go to all the nations. We can't, listen, we're like 100 people in Leaf River. We can't go to all the nations. But we can partner with other people that can, right? Last week we heard from David Hines, David and Kristen Hines, and he talked about how he goes and he trains groups of Christians in various tribes and countries and villages so that he trains them in farming, of all things. But they use that training to then be able to express the gospel to other people in their region. So we partner with other churches to send Dave to these other places. We do the same thing with Brad and Rachel Wells, right? We're sending them to if they ever get their visas, we're sending them to South Africa so that they can be the gospel there, right? And so we partner with other churches and with other Christians to be able to send them, because we can't do it all, but we can partner with other people to do it all, right? And so that's why we do that. That's why we work with various kinds of missionaries, right? Another type of church cooperation is done through working together on local or global outreach events, right? Just last week, there were a group of three churches that joined together to bless the community of Mount Morris. Three different churches joined together to bless the community of Mount Morris. There was a church called Families of Faith Church in Shanahan. There was the Evangelical Free Church in Mount Morris. And there was Leaf River Baptist Church here in Leaf River. And we all joined together at the grounds of the new school, Mount Morris Christian Academy. And we joined together to just bless the community, to get to know some people in the community. And ultimately, we joined together because we want to proclaim the gospel to Mount Morris. That's why we joined together. That's why we did what we did. You see, partnering with other churches enables us to combine resources, skills, and gifts for a more impactful gospel outreach. I don't know why I messed that up. I'm sorry. You just have to know. Partnering with other churches enables us to combine resources, skills, and gifts for a more impactful gospel outreach. Now, imagine for a moment the opportunity we have to partner together with other churches and having a huge impact in Mount Morris. Now, we've been talking over the last 4 years that we are in Leaf River and we should be really focusing a lot of effort in Leaf River. And now God's opened a door to focus some effort into Mount Morris too. Should we ignore that? Maybe, I guess, apparently you guys are. Should we ignore an opportunity to share the gospel in Mount Morris? Thank you. You're awake now. Awesome. Okay, so if we join together with other churches, we actually have an opportunity. Listen, some of you have been saying for the last 4 years, why are we just focusing on Leaf River? Why don't we look at Mount Morris and Byron and Oregon and Forreston and all these other communities? Some of you guys have been asking me that question, right? Well, we got started in Leaf River, and then God said, okay, you guys are doing some work there. Let's do something in Mount Morris too. And God's opened a door for us to do something amazing in Mount Morris and with those kids in Mount Morris. Now, I know it can be hard to think about how can we possibly do something with a school in Mount Morris. Like, I don't know how to teach anything. I don't know how to do anything with a school. Listen, I dropped out of school to get away from school. I'm not really interested in going back to school. Like, we can have all these reasons why we shouldn't get involved. But what if Leaf River Baptist Church and the Evangelical Free a Church of Mount Morris partnered together to do something amazing for that school? Listen, the school, I'm just going to throw an idea out there. The school's going to be too small to have any kind of a sports program at this moment. What if we partnered together to provide some kind of a community basketball league or a baseball league? Listen, you don't have to be great at a sport to teach that sport. And I tell you that from experience, because I coached basketball, and clearly I don't know what I'm doing because I just said I taught basketball. Okay, but here's what I did. Every single week before practice, every single week, I would watch YouTube videos to figure out what I'm supposed to be teaching kids. And then I would go and I would teach those kids that thing that I just learned. Anybody can serve other people if you're willing to. So what if we partnered together with another church to provide a community sports league, not just for the kids that are part of Mount Morris Christian Academy, but for the kids of the community too? And what if we could do that for free? I don't know if we can. I'm just saying, what if? But here's the thing. In order to do that, You have to be willing. And so that's what I'm asking you guys here this morning. Would you be willing to be used however God decides to use you? Whether that's coaching basketball or teaching somebody how to sing or picking up trash in the community, are you willing to serve others in the way that God would have you to serve? Second reason I think churches should work together is mutual encouragement and support. Mutual encouragement and support. You see, this is huge. When other churches join together, like when other churches are actually together promoting the gospel, it is not only encouraging to the leadership of those churches, but it is massively encouraging to the members of those churches. Last week, as we sat, and there was a group of people from Mount Morris Christian, from Evangelical Free Church of Mount Morris, and they had like a face painting booth, and they had gathered some school supplies to pass out, like a little goodie bag to pass out, and they were out there just serving and just blessing the community. And we were out there with cotton candy and snow cones and cookies, and we were out there just serving and blessing the community. And then Families of Faith came down. They had like three massive bounce houses, and they were out there just serving and blessing the families of the community. And all three of us had the same ultimate goal, and that was to tell others the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the goal. Because listen, just because you go to a Christian school, just because you think about going to a Christian school, doesn't mean you have a relationship with Christ, right? And so that's the goal. We get an opportunity. So and it was so encouraging to just be together with other believers and laugh and joke and have a good time together. Every year, about April, for the last 2 or 3 years, every year, Beth and I go to a conference called Small Town Church Conference. Small Town Church Conference. It's in April. It's down in Peoria, and it's fantastic because what happens is we join together with, like, I don't know, probably 400 or 500 other pastors and ministry leaders of small communities. And a small town is defined as anything under 5,000 people. So I think Leaf River counts. And so I was allowed in. And it's so encouraging because here's the thing. We were in Lafayette. We were in a larger city. We were in a larger feel of a church. And you have totally different scenarios going on. You have totally different challenges and good things. I don't know the word I was trying to say, but good. You have all kinds of different stuff happening. And when I can relate to somebody, when I can talk to somebody as a pastor that's experiencing the same type of thing that I'm experiencing, that's encouraging, right? The same was true when we were in Lafayette and we were going to these larger church conferences. That was encouraging because we were talking to people that were experiencing the same stuff we were experiencing at that time. It's encouraging when you get to be together with other like-minded believers, right? Other Christians of other communities. Look at this passage in Acts. And I want you to remember what it looked like for the early church, for the first church, the first generation church. This passage in Acts says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were gathered together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." That is the origin of the church. That's a thing that actually happened. Christians gathered together and they had things in common. Now, this isn't talking about some, you know, socialist utopia situation. That's not what's going on here. This is Christians joining together and Christian A has a need, and Christian B says, I'm going to help that need, and I'm going to do whatever I have to do in order to help that need. It was an amazing time that the churches were joined together. And the same can be true about churches. You see, churches unite. Churches, bodies of believers unite to offer mutual, spiritual, emotional, and practical support. Last week, at that little community fair block party situation, it would not have been the same way without three different churches being there. Because every church, every body of believers, brought something new and unique to that party, which allowed us to communicate, not communicate, it allowed us to bless the community around us even more. And listen, this churches uniting together can be things like joint prayer meetings. It can be sharing resources, saying, hey, we have something, do you need it? It can even be working together in the immediate community, in that community, to proclaim the gospel. It can be working together for an evangelistic outreach opportunity. Together. But here's the thing. A lot of times churches don't like to work together. A lot of times churches believe they're better on their own. But I don't think that's true. And part of the reason I don't think that's true is the third reason that I'm going to put up here. The third reason is learning from each other. Churches can learn from each other, right? Isn't it a relief? And maybe some of you will agree with me, maybe you won't. Isn't it a relief to actually know that you don't have to know everything? Like, there was a time in my life that I believed I knew more than anybody else in the room. And I let you know it too. Like, you're dumb, I'm smart. But isn't it a relief to realize I don't have to be the smartest guy in the room? I don't have to be the best at whatever I'm doing in the room. I can actually learn from somebody else. Isn't that just a huge relief? Because then I don't have to be like on guard all the time. I can just be learning. Say, wow, that's a really cool technique. That thing you just did, that was really helpful. Now I'm going to take that to myself. And churches can do that. Churches, believe it or not, churches don't know everything. LRBC, we're not the best in town. But we're willing to serve in a way that God's called us to serve. And we're willing to learn from other people. We're willing to learn from other churches, right? Here's the thing. We all have different strengths. And when we're able to serve in those strengths, then God does amazing, amazing things. And it's better for everybody around. When we're able to serve in those, for instance, I'm not going to play the drums. Like, I'm not going to take over the drums ministry because that would not be good for the drums or for your ears. Okay? But Brian, however, is skilled and talented at playing the drums. And so every week he dedicates time to come up here and play the drums. Now, I do happen to know that he would be more than happy to pass those drumsticks on to somebody else. So if somebody else is willing / capable being kind of important, then reach out to Brian, talk to Brian. I'm sure he'd love to talk to you. But here's the thing. We all have different strengths, right? We all do different things better than somebody else. God has gifted us in a specific way. And that's the same thing is true in churches. Every church, just like every Christian, has a different and unique perspective, a different and unique strength and experiences that can help other churches. Like the stuff that we're going through as a church, the stuff that we have gone through as a church, we can use it to help another church, right? And we can learn from a different church. Every church has unique strengths, perspectives, and experiences. And by working together, churches can actually learn from each other, from their practices, traditions, and teachings. However, here's the thing. In order to do that, in order to learn from another church, in order to be willing to learn from another church. Here's the thing. This demands humility and a readiness to adapt and grow according to God's calling for the church. This is not a suggestion of humility. This is not a, hey, you know, your church might be better if you were humble. No, this, in order to work together with other churches, this demands humility and readiness to adapt and grow according to God's calling for the church. The church network that we're a part of is called Converge Mid-America. They've actually since partnered with Southeastern and Caribbean. So there's like, we're Converge Mid-America, but Converge Mid-America is that network has learned some things. And so they're teaching Converge Southwest and Converge Caribbean. They're teaching and they're helping them get better. But here's the thing. Converge Mid-America has this tagline, better together. And they have that tagline for a reason. Look at Proverbs 27:17. And you guys know this verse, or you know the concept. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. This is typically used in men's retreats, right? Or sermons about men being better or needing to be better and men needing to work together to be a man of God, or something to that effect. And that's good, right? But this verse also applies to us as a church. See, this passage highlights the idea that believers can actually interact with other believers. Like, you don't have to be, and you know what happens? You know what it is? If our church was to say we're the only church, we're the right church, we're the only true church, that's called a cult. And we're not a cult. We're a body of believers, right? So when churches are willing to learn from each other, iron sharpens iron, churches sharpen churches. When different churches contribute their unique perspectives, they will challenge and inspire growth. When you are connected with churches that have a different tradition, then you get to be challenged and be inspired by what they do, or by what they've done, or by what they're a part of, right? When churches work together, amazing things happen. See, there's a group of pastors in Ogle and Winnebago County, and this group of pastors gets together 3 to 4 times a year. And the reason that we get together is we get together to challenge each other biblically so that none of us grow stagnant in our biblical theological stances and in our understanding of how to read Scripture and how to understand and how to apply Scripture. So we get together as a group of pastors and we challenge each other and we grow, because we all have different perspectives and different traditions, right? And this is beneficial. When we do that, it's beneficial for all of the churches, not just for one. But there's one more reason that churches should cooperate with each other. And that's demonstrating love and unity to the world. When churches work together, you're demonstrating love and unity to the world. I'm going to tell you a story about a thing called Fun Fest in Lafayette, Indiana. And while I'm telling this story, Brian doesn't know this, there's like 7 or 8 pictures there. Brian's just going to kind of scroll through these pictures to give you kind of a little bit of a glimpse. But in 2016, the church that Bethany and I were a part of, we had just purchased a building in an industrial setting. And so we weren't around any communities specifically, but we wanted to begin to work in the community. And so about October, we started getting together and we started talking about, what are we going to do? How can we bless the community? Are we going to have the community come to us? Are we going to go to them? What's going to happen? Well, we couldn't have the community come to us because we were kind of far away. And so what we did as a church is we said, we're going to go to the community. And there was a park. There was a local park in the middle of about 3,000 residents, okay? Now, this was one neighborhood, just to put that into perspective for us. One small neighborhood was 3,000 people. And so we got together And we went to this park. But here's the thing. This was a city park, and we couldn't take our cars onto that park. We decided we wanted to do some kind of a trunk or treat type of thing. But we couldn't take cars onto the public, onto the city park. And so we had to figure out, what are we going to do? How do we do something here? And what we did is we decided we were going to take the cars, we were going to take the trunks and put them in the field, in the park. Okay, and so here's what we did. We had 7 small groups at that time. And what we did is we asked every small group to take over one booth. Okay, and one booth consisted of a pop-up tent and candy, and you pass out candy. Well, in the course of the conversation and talking together and, you know, getting more people involved in the conversation, that pop-up tent and candy turned into, let's decorate your tent into some amazing, cool thing. And also, let's have a game of some sort. So every booth had a game and had some kind of candy or something like that, or some kind of prize. So here's what happened. We were so excited. We planned this thing. We assumed we were going to have about 100 people show up. We thought that would be amazing if we had 100 people show up. We had hot dogs and water bottles we were going to pass out. And we were so excited. This was the first time we did it in 2016, October of 2016. And we had 500 people walk through. We kept having to go back to the store and get more hot dogs and more hamburgers and more bottles of water. It was really, really cool. We had never done anything like this. It was really neat. So we went home and, you know, we packed up and we said, that's awesome. Then Easter came around. And when Easter came around, we decided we wanted to do something again. We wanted to do this whole thing again for Easter. We're not going to do an Easter egg hunt. Nobody's going to come to our church way far away. So we're going to go to the community. We went to the community. But here's the thing. We started having other churches contact us and say, hey, can we partner with you guys? And we said, absolutely. You know why? Because if you have more churches, you have more people, which means you can bless more people, right? And so we started getting together, and ultimately we had, I think, 7 churches partner with us. And these churches were different ethnic churches, ethnically diverse, and we were some theologically diverse, but we all had the same core beliefs, right? And so we partnered together, and we had, get this, over the course of, you know, the 2 to 3 years that we did this thing, we had over 2,000 kids coming through this thing because we partnered together. And each church did what was best, did what they did best. As a matter of fact, we had one church that had an abundance of pallets because their pastor worked at Subaru of Indiana, and so he had access to, like, pallets everywhere. So they had a massive abundance of pallets, and he created a pallet maze for kids to go through. It was awesome. Kids loved it. It was super cool. But the reason I say that is because every church did what they did best. And every church got together, and we got together for one reason. We wanted to proclaim the gospel. And so we gathered, the pastors gathered kind of in the central hub of the park. And we had, I don't know how to count, so I don't know how many booths we had set up, but it was massive. And we were giving away kites, and kids were playing with kites in the park and eating their hot dogs and hamburgers. And it was so cool to see this many churches work together. And you know what that showed the community? That showed the community that we're not in competition. That it's not my church or your church, that we're talking about the church, the universal, the big C church. And you know what I did? People thought I was crazy, but here's what I did. If I was talking to somebody and I got to know them a little bit, some guy in the community, and I got to know them a little bit, and I know the other pastors of the other churches pretty well because we talk a lot, and I said, you know what? Mike, I think you would really do well to get to know Joe over here. And I would take him and I would introduce him to a different pastor, because that different pastor had a better opportunity to share the gospel with that guy. And that's what happens when churches work together, when believers work together, when we're humble enough to say, I don't have to be the most important person in the room. I just want to share the gospel. We have that opportunity where we are. We have that opportunity. We have some ministries starting up in Leaf River and kind of going in Leaf River at this point. We have this new ministry in Mount Morris that we are eager to be a part of, and we don't know what that looks like yet, right? Like, we genuinely have no idea what ministry in a private school is going to look like. But what we do know is that God's opening a door right there, and so why wouldn't we walk through it, right? Why would we say, no, thank you, God, I don't want to serve kids? That's just not a smart thing to do. And so we're jumping in and we're saying, how can we bless this community, right? How can we bless these people? You know what? Jesus said something about that. John chapter 13, verse 35, he says this. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. By this, all people. Here's the thing. People that don't go to church, non-Christians, tend to think of churches as in competition with each other. Kind of like Target versus Walmart, right? Which one are you going to go to? Churches aren't in competition, right? We just want to share the gospel. Listen, if LRBC is 30 people, we just want to share the gospel. If LRBC is 5,000 people, I'm getting some crazy looks. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm just saying, if LRBC is 5,000 people, we just want to share the gospel. That's all we're here for, right? We're here to encourage each other, to be a blessing to each other, and to share the gospel outside these walls. And we can praise the Lord together. But here's the thing. It requires Christian cooperation right here in Leaf River and Mount Morris. We're building relationships with other churches to be able to hopefully provide resources to the community, communities around us, right? Because we want to be a place where the gospel is proclaimed, and we want to proclaim the gospel not just with our words, but with our actions also. We want to be the hands and feet of Christ. And so we're partnering with others, and we're joining together so that in this region, the gospel can be reached through solid education. So what would it look like for you personally? What would it look like for you personally to get involved with some aspect of this brand new ministry in Mount Morris? What would it look like for you personally to say, you know what? I can do something. Now, maybe the thing you can do is give somebody $5 for lunch. Maybe the thing you could do is go help clean windows. Maybe the thing you could do would be volunteering to teach music or to teach art or to be a librarian or to whatever, fill in the blank. I don't know the answers. But what would it look like for you to be involved in this new aspect of ministry? What would it look like for us to serve alongside E3 of Mount Morris, to lock arms with other believers who believe in the same Jesus that we believe in, who love the same God and want preach the same gospel? What would it look like for us to lock arms together and maybe teach an adult education class in that facility? Right? Maybe be a part of the trade school that's going to happen over there, Lord willing, right? Whatever it is that you are capable of doing, are you willing to do it alongside other churches in this region? Are you willing to step outside of LRBC and say, you know what, I'm safe, I'm protected, I'm loved in LRBC, but I know that God has also called me to be a light outside of LRBC too. And so maybe I need to do something outside the safety of these walls. Maybe you coach basketball. Maybe you coach basketball. Or you coach basketball. Or you coach baseball. Basketball. I don't know. I think there's some pretty good basketball people in this area here. But I don't know what that looks like, right? Maybe you help organize that league. Or maybe you're capable. Maybe you're willing to do something else. And that's okay. Whatever it is. What I want to encourage you, not just Mount Morris Christian Academy. Listen, Mount Morris Christian Academy is one ministry. We also have a ministry to farmers that we're going to be talking about again here pretty soon as we start to ramp up this idea for a farmer appreciation hog roast kind of situation, right? Like, we're talking about that for probably October-ish, November. I don't know when harvest is all done, but after harvest is done. So maybe that's something that God's like, hey, you need to be a part of that ministry. Like, that's something that I've gifted you to do. But think about other ways you can connect with the community around us, by serving alongside other churches. What could it look like if we joined together with other churches? At LRBC, we believe that we can serve alongside other churches that have similar beliefs. Even if we don't agree 100% of the time on 100% of the things, as long as we have some like-minded beliefs, and there are some theological stipulations, I will say, with churches that we would or would not work with, okay? But we believe we can work with other churches as we reach into not just Leaf River, but Mount Morris and beyond. You see, by us embracing this concept, all of the area churches can be strengthened. And if all of the area churches are strengthened, can you imagine what happens to the culture of Ogle County? Can you imagine what happens to the spiritual life of Ogle County if all of the Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches in Ogle County just keep getting better? Man, this entire region can be transformed for Christ. This entire community, God can start a revival right here. And maybe it starts because we say we're willing to work outside of our walls with other people that believe similar to what we believe. Not 100%. You're never going to get 100%. Listen, I guarantee not everyone in this room agrees 100%. Okay? But we have the same base. And if we have the same base, we can work together and we can lock arms and we can go proclaim the gospel to everybody. Listen, I want to be very clear. There are people lost, dying, and going to hell every single day in Ogle County. If I'm comfortable, then I don't think about it. And I see my neighbor and I say, wow, my neighbor just passed away. Well, that's too bad for them. Was my neighbor a believer? Do I even know if my neighbor was a believer? There are people lost and dying and going to hell every single day. And until we are ready to get out of our walls, get out of my personal wall, and step out and be uncomfortable a little bit and proclaim the gospel to anybody that'll listen, then it's going to keep on happening all around us to friends and family and coworkers and everybody in between. So let me encourage you. As you leave today, I want to encourage you to think about somebody. Every single one of us in this room, we all know somebody that is lost. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's a cousin. Maybe it's a nephew. Maybe it's whatever. We all know someone that's lost. Let me encourage you, over these next 7 days, specifically pray for that one person and pray that God would open a door for you to be able to say something to them. Remember our key verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I don't know if you can skip way back there, Brian, and pull that back up. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But in your hearts honor Christ as Lord, Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." So pray for that one person. Lord, open a door for me to have a conversation with this person with gentleness and respect. That's important. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in there. So let me encourage you to find that one person. Think about that one person. Pray for them every day this week and see what God does. Maybe God doesn't open a door, but maybe God softens your heart a little bit more for them. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessing. God, we know that we don't know everything. We know that we don't do everything. And God, we thank you that you pick up the slack for us because we got a lot of it. God, this morning as we come to you and as we think about someone maybe doesn't know who you are, maybe it's a student of Mount Morris Christian Academy that's going to be starting, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a neighbor, a resident in Leaf River. God, we ask that you break our hearts for that individual. And God, if it's your will, if it's possible, we ask that you would use an opportunity for us to partner with other churches to be able to proclaim the gospel to that individual. Allow them to see that we love each other and that this isn't a competition, but that we just want to proclaim the gospel. God, Lord, we don't know what we're doing most days. We pretend. But Lord, you're the only one that knows. And so we look to you and we choose to look to you and we choose to trust you every step of the way. So break our hearts, Lord, for what breaks yours. Allow us to see people the way that you see people. Give us the compassion for our own family, for our friends, for our coworkers. Lord, give us the opportunity to have a conversation about you